If you have your Bible, let's open up your Bibles first to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. This is not the main text for today, but I want to start with something. So 1 Corinthians is in the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans, 1 Corinthians, I think I got that right. All right, 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Verses 6 and 7, and I'll have it on the screen too. Yet among the mature, we do impart wisdom, although it is not a wisdom of this age or of the rulers of this age, who are doomed to pass away, but we impart a secret and hidden wisdom of God, which God decreed before the ages for our glory. So, there are two types of wisdom in this world, okay? At least two types of wisdom, two main types of wisdom, okay? There's what Scripture would call secret, hidden wisdom of God, okay? If you want to learn about God's wisdom, okay, you should read Proverbs and 1 Corinthians chapters 1 through 3. Probably talks about wisdom in other places, but those are, I would say, maybe the two main texts that I found, and this is from a part of it. So there's a hidden wisdom of God, which we're going to talk about, but then there's a wisdom of this age, okay, which God would call, you know, to some degree, he'd call foolishness. So there's really two types of very distinct wisdom in this world today, all right? There's godly wisdom or spiritual wisdom, and then there's wisdom of this age, okay? And let me talk about the latter for a second, okay, before we get into our main text in Proverbs. I was gonna be honest, like, I love to accumulate knowledge. Sometimes useful knowledge, sometimes not so useful knowledge, right? And I think if we all admitted it, right, if we're all just honest, maybe it's me. I don't know. I think we like to feel learned about stuff. Okay? I think we like to accumulate it. We like to share it. We like to feel wise. We like to be acknowledged as wise and knowledgeable and learned and having understanding. And I'm like that too. You know, I was thinking about that, right? It's like, and I took this long list. I read this long list of an inventory, all these random, not random. Some of this is useful, by the way. I'm not saying all earthly wisdom is evil, okay? But it does say that it's doomed to pass away, okay? So whatever the flavor of wisdom is for today, whatever it was last century, whatever it was, you know, in the Roman Empire and the Persian Empire and the Greek Empire, whatever all that knowledge and wisdom is of that age, it's going to pass away, okay? So I took an inventory, just you know, like 20 minutes and just, you know, wrote a list of, you know, wisdom, right? This, like, wisdom that we accumulate, right? So maybe you have, like, financial wisdom. Maybe you're kind of, like, proud that, like, you know how to, like, invest and use your money and stocks and mutual funds and retirement and HELOCs and APRs and whatever, right? You follow the Fed and you understand the movement of money, right? You understand how to invest. And I'm not saying that's all wrong, okay? But, you know, there's a wisdom of this age, okay? Maybe you like research, right? Maybe you like, you know, NIH studies, and you like, you know, reading about, you know, coffee's good for you, coffee's bad for you, wine's good for you, wine's bad for you, right? I mean, there's like these articles and screen time and all these things, right? Like, people are trying to study, these scientists around the world, right? They're trying to study things. They create controls and randomized control trials and treatment effects, and they try to statistically understand, you know, like, does the data show, is coffee good for you? Is coffee bad for you? They still don't really know, you know, to be honest, right? I think people would say caffeine's probably not good for you, but who knows, right? God made it. I don't know, you know, or maybe we manufactured it. So I'm just saying, right? We like to be learned, right? Then give advice. You know, Hito, don't drink so much coffee. Or Hito, drink more coffee. You know, I mean, whatever it is, right? We like to share. We like to accumulate this knowledge and like to share it. We like to feel learned and experienced and wise. Even at work, right? At work. I work in consulting. My job is to act a little bit smarter than my clients, right? And my customers. It's like, I gotta act like I know this thing a little bit better than they do. It's like I'm wise and understanding, so I can teach them about data and stuff, you know? And change management and how to be a better organization and, you know? I'm surrounded by it. And it's, in some ways, it's in my heart, right? And in your heart too. There's this wisdom that we want to accumulate, this knowledge. And it's not all bad, right? It's not all evil. It's not all bad. But I think, as I was thinking about, and Nate mentioned it, and Tammy mentioned it, the last Sunday of 2024, as we dive headfirst into 2025, I was praying this week. I said, God, I don't know what to talk about on Sunday. I don't know. You know, God, I don't, you know, it's like, I was praying. I said, God, you know, like, I need a word, you know? I need a word for me, right? I need a word, right, to share. And for whatever reason, God just kept taking me to Proverbs. Proverbs 1, 2, and 3. So I can't go over it all today, but I would invite you to read on your own time. Study it. Read it. Proverbs 1, 2, and 3. There's a lot there. I'll talk a little bit about it. But it's about true wisdom, true understanding. And I think even when I say that word, knowledge and understanding, right, it's like we almost like we jump to this idea that it's like self-knowledge, like self-realization, self-actualization, like I'm just wise in and of myself, right? But that's not the wisdom that God talks about. That's not the understanding that God talks about in Proverbs, okay? And what I realized about myself, and we'll dive into Proverbs, is part of the reason I like to feel that way, and there's like multiple reasons why I like to feel wise, right? I like to feel learned. Part of it is like intrinsic, right? Like in and of myself, I wanna feel kind of like respectable, right? Like I know some stuff, right? Part of it is external. You know, you want the praise of man. You want to feel a little glory and you want to feel kind of worthy in front of people. But you know what? When I kind of like peeled the layers of the onion back in my heart, it's like, I want to feel in control. I want to feel like I know some stuff so that I can manipulate my circumstances to achieve the outcomes that I desire. Okay? So I'm like reading and studying and browsing the internet and doing all these things, right? Because, I don't know, like financially, for instance, right? You want to feel learned and wise. Why? So that you can feel like you have some control of your circumstances to achieve a certain outcome. You want a certain kind of retirement. Let's be honest, okay? Everybody in this room, including myself, we want a certain type of life, okay? So you learn and you study so that you can feel in control of these situations so that you can try to manipulate circumstances to achieve an outcome. Okay? So then this sense of self-wisdom can be really just like, you know, a face for, you know, a godless life where you don't have to trust God. You don't have to bow to God. Okay? So these are the two different types of wisdom. There's worldly wisdom, secular wisdom, the wisdom of this age. And then there's godly wisdom and spiritual wisdom. So let's read that, okay? Because Proverbs goes into it. So let's open up your Bible again, okay? Kind of like right in the middle, actually. And then once you hit the middle, it's a little bit to the left. And that you're going to hit Proverbs, okay, eventually. It's after Psalms, and Proverbs chapter 2. Verses 1 through 6, Let me read it for us, okay? This is God's word. My son, if you receive my words and you treasure up my commandments with you, making your ear attentive to wisdom and inclining your heart to understanding, yes, if you call out for insight and raise your voice for understanding, if you seek it like silver and search for it as for hidden treasure, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding. Okay. Chris, if you could go to the next slide. There's two main things happening in this text. Okay. This is God speaking to Solomon, but in some sense, like, you know, this is a word, God's word for us, okay, as readers. Okay? And there's two sets of actions that are occurring that God is urging us to do. Okay? And if you do these two sets of actions, okay, then what does it say in verse 5? Then you will have true, godly, spiritual understanding of the fear of God and the knowledge of him. Because God gives wisdom. All right? So these two sets of actions and verbs that God calls for us. Okay? So in the next slide, I highlighted the first section in blue. Okay? My son, if you receive, okay, treasure up, which means to store up, okay? Make your ear attentive, incline your heart, posture your heart. So what are all these? If I had to group these four together, what is it? Humble yourself. Listen. When I was reading this, I thought, God was saying to me, Robert, will you just stop and listen for a second? Listen to God. You got all these things going on in your mind. You got all these, again, right? Earthly wisdom, this like control. Like I got this stuff going on. I gotta like control my circumstances. I gotta make moves. I gotta manipulate the circumstances to achieve an outcome. And God's saying, that's worldly wisdom. Godly wisdom. Will you stop and listen? Incline your heart. I hope you see that. It's like there's like a posture here. There's a posture of humility. God, just stop. He's saying, just stop, and would you listen to me? Incline your heart. Be attentive. Let your ear be attentive. What is he saying about your circumstances? Next slide, the second set of verbs and actions that God is calling for us, okay? Yes, if you call out for insight, raise your voice, you seek it like silver, search for it. What is he saying? Ask. Search. Come to God. I mean, they're tied together, right? Humility. Bowing before God, listening and seeking and searching from God. Then you will understand the fear of the Lord Yahweh and the knowledge of God. The Lord gives wisdom. The Lord gives true wisdom for your circumstances. From his mouth comes knowledge, true knowledge and understanding that's not self-made, but it is from God. Here's why I think this matters for 2025, okay? One of my greatest fears, I would say, When I became a Christian, okay, in college, I didn't want to move to Northern Virginia. Just to be honest, right? I tried my best. I tried my best to avoid Northern Virginia, and then I got married, and then Tammy wanted to move to Northern Virginia. So I said, okay, fine, we'll move to Northern Virginia, okay? Let's negotiate, and then we'll move to Northern Virginia, okay? All right, and you know why? One of my greatest fears, and it's not, and I'm not, this is not an indictment on Northern Virginia. This is just life, I'm realizing, right? Doesn't matter where you live. My greatest fear for myself, my greatest fear for my children, my greatest fear for you all, okay, is what I would call spiritual mediocrity. You just settle, okay? You do just enough. I do just enough not to feel guilty, just enough to feel like I'm doing a little bit more than the other guy, but I find a way to create this, like, equilibrium so I can just settle and just almost like cruise control, right? When you hit that button, the cruise control button, you know, it requires less energy, right? Because there's momentum. You hit it, you set it, and you forget it, right? Less energy to just kind of keep moving. My greatest fear, right? And I'm susceptible to it. I'm very susceptible to spiritual mediocrity, all right? And so I go online and I listen to these like big booming sermons, right? John Piper and Francis Chan, and they rile up my spirit, right? Like, woo, right? I'm gonna like just give all my money away. I'm gonna move, you know, across the world and just like live in a remote island and, you know, like preach the gospel, right? And then I like, you know, wake up to reality. I'm like, oh, well, actually, I can't do that, right? I mean, I could, but, you know, like we gotta, you know, talk about it, right? And here's the reality, though, okay? And the stark reality that honestly has been hard for me to swallow, to be honest, okay? I'm struggling with it. The stark, cold reality is after today, tomorrow, you gotta go to work, you gotta make breakfast, you gotta take care of your kids, you gotta go to school, right? You gotta go grocery shopping. You gotta have meetings. You gotta interact with your coworkers. You gotta interact with your customers. You gotta, you know, life goes on. After that big, motivating, convicting sermon, you go to sleep and you wake up, and then real life happens. Okay? And then if we let this, like, spiritual mediocrity settle upon us, God forbid, for one day, then a week, then a month, then another year, and then 5 years, and then a decade. And my greatest fear is that I will die and have wasted my life. Okay? Now, some of you may be called to give up your entire lives and to go across the world, to live on an island, to preach the gospel to an unreached people. Maybe, right? Maybe, maybe, maybe not. That's fine, right? But for the majority of you, you gotta wake up and live another day. And you need wisdom. You need the wisdom of God. Because you're gonna make about 100 choices tomorrow. I'm gonna make about 100 choices in a day, roughly, right? Some that matter, some that don't matter. And I need God's wisdom to understand what it means to be faithful and to not waste my life tomorrow. And your heart and my heart, we are inclined to move towards that worldly wisdom, okay? There's a disposition that you have to want, that I have, to want to go to that worldly wisdom, right? Because it feeds me, right? It feeds my sense of control. It feeds my desires. It feeds what I want. It makes me feel good and learned and, you know, glory and, you know, the praise of man. And it makes me feel like I'm, you know, like making moves. And my prayer for myself and for you, right, is that we would seek godly wisdom every day to make right, faithful, obedient choices so that 10, 20, 30, 40 years from now, we're not going to have wasted our lives. And so just to be really honest, I'm still figuring that out. I talk to Nate about that sometimes, like what does it mean to like, you know, like live a life for Christ here? I'm still figuring that out, okay? If you got some ideas, let me know, all right? I'm still figuring that out. But the word I just felt like God was putting on my heart for me going into 2025 was Proverbs 2, 1 through 6, right? And again, two sets of verbs, right? These are God's commands for us now, okay? And the first set of verbs is listen. Incline your ear and your heart. God, what do you want today? Do you do that? I don't do that. I'm sorry to admit, I don't think I do that most mornings. Like, where I get on my knees, I say, God, I got a lot of things that I want to do today. What do you want, God? What do you want me to prioritize today? Because I got to show up for work. Right? I got to be a husband. I got to be a father. Right? I got to be these things. Right? God, would you give me your spirit to move in my heart, to give me godly wisdom for today? How do I prioritize my calendar? How do I prioritize my choices, God, to love you and to follow you? Because every day you're going to have to make about 100 choices about what you're going to look at and what you're going to browse and what you're going to buy, what you're going to eat, and whether you're going to, you know, be loving or not, or generous or not, or kind or not, or, you know, how you're going to portion out your calendar. And it's hard. It's hard. Let's admit it. It's very difficult. All right? But I think that what God is laying on my heart are these two things. Call out, all right? Let me read it again. Call out for insight. Raise your voice for understanding. Seek it like silver. Search for it like a hidden treasure. Then you will understand the fear of the Lord. And then verse 1 and 2, receive my word, treasure my commandments, make your ear attentive, incline your heart, posture yourself to care about what God says. To be faithful for tomorrow. And then the Lord will give wisdom. If you humble yourself, God gives grace to the humble. Okay? I'm trying to do this. I'm literally trying to wake up in the morning and just listen to God and say, God, what do you want? Because he says later in Proverbs 3, right? Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. That's what he says later. Be not wise in your own eyes. So one of my greatest impediments to living, to potentially wasting my life, this short, precious life that I have, is that I get in my own way. And I bring all that earthly wisdom, right? And God is saying, just humble yourself. Just listen. Seek me and be attentive. Right? posturing ourselves every day at the foot of the cross and just asking, hey, God, what do you have for me today? How do you want me to love you? How do you want me to exalt you today in the big and little choices that I have to make? Right? He probably doesn't care what color pants you wear, right? But he may care how you speak to your coworker, how you speak to your wife, whether you show up on time for dinner, you know, whether you take that phone call from a friend or a church member. You know, I mean, it's these little choices. And yes, God does the big things, right? We're praying, I mean, we're not praying for Luke to leave, right? But we're praying that God would, you know, send Luke and, you know, and I pray that he's faithful here and he's faithful wherever God might take him, right? And all of you, right, may do big and little things, but the majority of your day and my day is made up of the little things. The seemingly mundane choices that you have to make. And my prayer and my desire is that God would humble me and give me wisdom so I don't waste my life. Because those, he will see those little choices, right? Those little things that we do. So my urge to you and myself for 2025 is that we start and continue the year humbled, inclined to hear and listen, to prostrate and bow before God and say, God, what do you want? I need your wisdom for today, God. I need to be faithful today. The small things, right? And God will use that. He will use the fish and the bread, and he will do what he wills, right? Let's pray. And let's as Nate comes up and the team comes, look, just let's take a moment and let me invite us to pray. Come before God, and let's do what the scriptures command us to do. Let's ask. Seek, search. If you are seeking God's will, his desire and his wisdom for a specific set of choices that you have to make in 2025, ask. It says, the Lord gives wisdom, and from his mouth come knowledge and understanding. Let's ask our Heavenly Father. Let's ask our Lord. Let's ask the Holy Spirit. God, would you speak into my heart? And let's humble ourselves. Incline your ear. Be attentive. Incline your heart before God. Say, God, I have to wake up tomorrow and I got to do, you know, a couple dozen things tomorrow, God. Lord, would you speak to me, God? Be attentive to me, God. Hear my cry. I want to know, God, what it means to fear you and follow you and understand you and know you, God. So pray for the decisions, the big decisions that you have to make next year. But also pray for tomorrow. God is not stingy. If you ask and you come and you humble yourself, God will give grace for tomorrow. Okay? And my prayer is that it would be every day that you'd live a spirit-filled life as a dependent, trusting child of God every day of 2025. So let's pray. Let's come before God and let's ask our Father to help us, to give us His wisdom, to push back against the worldly wisdom of this age that will pass away, to know the will of God and the desires of God, to have the knowledge of God and the wisdom of God. So let's pray.